This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Now that the USDA has released its first official look at the balance sheet for new crop corn and soybeans, farmers are under the gun to make some marketing decisions. The easy ones, as Todd Gleason reports, are related to what's left to sell from last year.
This week, USDA estimated the average cash price farmers will receive for corn in the coming year to be 15 cents less than last year at $3.50 a bushel. It makes the decision to sell what's left from last year's crop pretty easy, thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
I think it's time to give it up and meter it out and let it go.
Pretty much the same advice goes for old crop soybean sales.
There's no opportunity at this juncture beyond a summer weather problem for prices to recover.
Sell old crop corn and soybeans at your discretion, but probably sooner rather than later. However, Darrell Good is much more cautious as it relates to new crop sales.
Prices are low enough, I think, and certainly below the insurance price. I'd bide my time on new crop corn.
He'd do pretty much the same for soybeans.
Probably in the same category. You're seeing prices right down at the $9 level for harvest delivery. About what the USDA expects for the year ahead. Probably no urgency to get aggressive at these levels.
Again, that's sell old crop and stand the sideline on the new crop. You may read Darrell Good's thoughts on the commodity markets each Monday afternoon on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm Todd Gleason.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced $30 million available for food entrepreneurs and agriculture producers to develop new products through the Value-Added Producer Grant Program. Rural Business Cooperative Service Administrator Lillian Salerno explains.
Farmers and ranchers are those creative people who live out in rural America, and with just a little bit of help from us, can put that creativity to work and make sure that they can add value to the rural communities by improving the bottom line of their operations.
The program has been available since 2009, and Salerno says more than $104 million has been awarded to 853 different grants. She says the 2014 Farm Bill increased opportunities for people by increasing the amount of funding available.
And also added some priorities to take advantage of this creative way to increase value in rural communities by making sure that military veterans and socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers got special priority in the new provisions granted in the Farm Bill.
Salerno provides an example of how people use the value-added producer grants.
Calderon Produce in North Carolina, they're a family-owned and operated business, and the Calderons came to the U.S. in 1985 and were migrant farm workers who sold produce out of the back of their box van, and through the years they saved their money, raised a family, and bought about 100 acres of land in Vail, North Carolina. And they were looking for a branding opportunity in which they could label their produce, and the Value-Added Producer Grant that we awarded helped them develop a marketing plan so that they could sell their tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers as food safety certified, which helped them increase their market share.
To apply for these grants, you can visit rd.usda.gov. Paper applications are being accepted through July 7th, and electronic applications are being accepted through July 2nd. Just a reminder to farmers that the 2014 Farm Bill requires producers to file a highly erodible land conservation and wetland conservation certification form with their local USDA service center by June 1st in order to become or remain eligible for crop insurance premium support. Most farmers already have a certification form on file since it's required for participation in most USDA programs, such as marketing assistance loans, farm storage facility loans, and disaster assistance. However, farmers such as specialty crop growers who receive federal crop insurance premium support but may not participate in other USDA programs also must now file a certification form to maintain their crop insurance premium support. Again, producers should visit their local USDA service center and talk with their crop insurance agent before the June 1st deadline to ask questions, get additional information, or learn more about conservation compliance procedures. Producers that file their form by the deadline will be eligible for federal crop insurance premium support during the 2016 reinsurance year, which begins July 1st. USDA will publish a rule outlining the linkage of conservation compliance with federal crop insurance premium support. To view a copy of the rule, you can go to go.usa.gov. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. The Bee Informed Partnership released the results of its 2014-2015 honeybee colony loss survey. Although losses were down from last winter, USDA Bee Research Lab Director says total losses for the year increased 10 percentage points from the previous year. Jim Jones, Assistant Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention, explains some of the possible factors affecting honeybees and other pollinators.
Exposures to pests and pathogens, poor nutrition due to decreased availability of high-quality forage, exposure to pesticides, and bee biological genetics and breeding. Each play a role in impacting managed bee health and likely also impact the health of native pollinators.
Pollination services cost about twice as much as they did in 1994, and honey prices are at record levels, while production volume is about 18% lower than the same time last year, according to USDA chief economist Rob Johansson. In 1993, Johansson says the U.S. had 3 million honeybee colonies, producing an average of 73 pounds of honey per year. Last year, the U.S. had 2.7 million colonies, producing an average of 65 pounds of honey. USDA Bee Research Lab Director shares some of the areas they are studying to try and decrease pollinator loss.
Better nutrition, getting more plant diversity out there in the environment, whether it's your backyard or whether it's a farm community. Make it a little more diverse, a little better for wildlife in general, and especially for pollinators. There's a couple of new pollinator initiatives relative to planting better flowers. So better nutrition, reducing pesticide use and pesticide exposure in honeybees, and then controlling these pests and parasites that they have, that the beekeepers have to work on controlling.
The White House Pollinator Health Initiative is working on a comprehensive strategy to help improve bee health. The American Farm Bureau and the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture have announced the 2015 Farm Bureau Photo Contest, which is open to all state and county Farm Bureau members and staff over the age of 18. Submissions will be used to portray today's ag and the safe practices of farmers and ranchers, and may be used for future publications, promotions, and social media by AFBF and related companies. The contest begins on May 15th and ends March 31st, 2016. There are four categories for photo entries: farm families, farm labor, technology, and consumer outreach. The top three placing photos in each category will receive monetary prizes: $75 for third place, $100 for second place, and $150 for first place. Judges will select a Best in Show winner and two runners-up for the most dynamic photo entered out of all of the categories. The first and second runner-ups will receive $300 and $200 respectively, and the Best in Show will receive $400. Winners will be announced April 15th, 2016. For more information, you can visit photocontest.fb.org. Be sure you tune in to WSMI AM 1540 tomorrow morning after the 9 o'clock news to hear a special feature on the challenges young farmers will have to deal with throughout their careers. An encore presentation will also be aired on Saturday during our regularly scheduled horse program in the morning during the 6 o'clock hour and again during the noon hour. Again, this special feature on challenges young farmers will be facing in the future will be airing for the first time tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on WSMI AM 1540. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.